I'm going to set you here by Daniel. So here. All
right. Hi, Gail. As usual, if you wouldn't mind hitting mute, we'll occasionally stop and it gets too confusing to try to engage on every single item. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. We're a couple minutes out here. We'll wait.
Tell me something. Yeah. It keeps coming this way. Okay, 6:30. I'll call this meeting to order. Bruce, if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance,
we would appreciate it. Please join in. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Okay. Well, welcome, visitors. As always, I want to give you an opportunity to bring up anything that's on your mind or to if there's anything specific that you would like to discuss or express a concern. We typically do that at the beginning of the meetings to just everyone's more than welcome and very encouraged to stay through the duration of the meeting, but sometimes they run long, so courtesy to the folks visiting, we want to offer that up. So is there anything specific that you'd like to?
I've got a couple things on the queuing side. Number one, you all may have heard on the deer harvest program, the board of directors did pass a motion to reduce the actual hunting time or harvesting time to 30 consecutive days as designated by the hunters to finish no later than November 27th. That was approved unanimously, so I've already talked to the hunters on that. I've also notified Fred. The last thing we have to do, Brady, is just get the qualification testing done. I don't know that we're going to have all that many hunters this year. A couple of them dropped out.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So we'll have to just coordinate that through Fred. We'll get that part done.
Are you looking to try and recruit up to four people, or are you just going to say whoever of those four?
Well, three. I've heard three of the four dropped out. We have one more that's picked up.
Yeah.
So we should have two hunters for sure, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of those others comes back.
You know? Yeah.
I'd like to think they would.
Yeah.
And I talked and notified Andy Friesen today, as far as what's going on, and he's fully supportive of it. So,
good.
But we'll coordinate that all through Fred. The only other thing is, The covenant vote going on right now, it'll close December 31st. It's a 90-day period. The only item, I think, in the revisions relates to the building ordinance, and it's basically taking an item out of the covenants and basically letting building ordinance stand on its alone,
okay.
Stand alone on that, and relate to the variances, which was, you remember, there was a lot of confusion between bylaws and rules, and we were trying to get it focused that it's just a building ordinance. And I think that was the only thing that really pertained on the city side.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Didn't that thing say the city was consulted on something? It's going to kind of be a joint. I don't remember getting consulted on any of that.
Well, I think that's just they're free to do with their bylaws whatever they want to do. That's just like we are with our work. I mean, I don't think anything was inconsistent with what we've discussed.
Okay. And if your question is specific to the building stuff, Queuing did come to the Planning Commission meetings when we had the review of the zoning regulations.
Okay.
And we really worked hard on trying to make sure that we were both on the same sheet of music.
Okay.
That was, so.
All right.
The big thing we're trying to do is to get our references out of our documents, because it was causing a lot of confusion when people come. It needs to be handled here on that part. And I think that was part of what Fred worked hard on, trying to get that sorted out.
Great. Thank you. Leanna?
Mine has to do with the minutes. Shall I tell you now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, it's on the second page of the minutes. It'd be page 11 of the paper. It says, Mayor Calney went on to say that the last couple of meetings we've had an organization in attendance that bets on behalf of charities, yes, charities, maybe not, and then ask cities to financially support those various charities. I think that's a misstatement. For one thing, I think a lot of the things that that organization does is coordinate nonprofits and create alliances with cities that maybe are having an underage drinking problem. So they might go between the schools and organizations, you know, hospitals, and put together a program that's ready to go in case they need something that they've already vetted. So I wouldn't exactly call that. And then it says, ask cities to financially support those various charities. That sounds like the cities then are giving money to the charities. And I think they must have said 25 times, your money does not go to the charities. It goes to the vetting organization. Yes?
And ultimately to the charities, whatever they vet, correct? I mean,
support the charities. It's just having programs available for them to partake of. We're not asking them to support charities. It's just there in case they have need for those services is the idea, isn't it?
That's a nuance. I'm not tracking it. My understanding is that they provide basically, for lack of a better explanation, vetting services for municipalities so that municipalities support through them the various organizations that take the load off of the cities. And they hit, and at the Council of Mayors, they talk pretty specifically about how it is an escalating notion. And what we discussed.
That's different, though, than saying that it asks cities to financially support those charities. It makes programs available. Isn't that the idea? And that if cities need them, then they are on, then they contract with those groups. Is that supporting the charity?
They give resources, as I understand it, collect funds from municipalities and then pass funds to.
I thought I heard him say. Maybe I was listening.
I may have missed it.
With this, I understand that they're a conduit. We contribute our 2,000 or whatever it is. Someone contribute 20,000 or whatever, and then they
200. 200.
Okay, 200 for us.
Yeah.
And and various cities do whatever, and then they vet charities and decide where the money's going to go. So they get us the Boys Club or
that's what I understand.
Whatever, YMCA or whatever. And I didn't even think we had the ability, and maybe we would, to say, hey, we want you to consider charity XYZ.
I don't think that's what they do.
That's the way I understood it.
Also, and then it says whether or not it's the job of the municipality to tax and take those tax dollars and gift them on behalf of taxpayers. Do you call supporting a organization that coordinates between all the different towns in Johnson County a charity?
They're vetting. I agree 1,000% with what Bruce said. My understanding is they said, give us money so that we can give money and support these various others.
I mean, that's why they gave us a list of the various charities that they give money to.
It's because you felt a lot of people feel very uncomfortable supporting any charities, and I think you brought it up. Do you support anything that provides abortions? And he said, no, we don't. So if people want to see every single thing right now that you have vetted and made available to municipalities so that they don't have to go in the I got the idea, so that they don't have to use the Yellow Pages or Google organizations that provide reading services to help kids that are behind in reading. They're an administrative group.
But there's no taking the money and giving it to the chair.
I don't think so.
Vetting was their word.
I know vetting means that you make sure that these are reputable services. And sometimes I think John was saying he'd been to meetings.
So you're saying your understanding was that they were basically an endorsement organization. And they say we're going to vet it and we're going to give them an approval.
And they put together alliances between those organizations.
And they
with the county.
Right? Yeah, with the county.
And then
they actually help establish several programs within the county.
And then they keep the $200,000 they raise or $300,000 whatever it was.
Well, they have several people on staff.
Well, I understand that. But that's
so we're paying administrative fees for staffs that invest money? Where does the charity get their money then?
Same way Salvation Army does. They ask people for money.
The discussion here is about the accuracy of the narrative describing the minutes. And that, I believe, is very consistent with what the minutes and
what you said.
I use an artist's license from time to time in the minutes to try to just condense it. I have no appetite to try to mischaracterize anything that took place. The way Bruce described it is exactly, and the way it's written is exactly what I understood. Now, is there?
That's the line that I wrote it down. How they give money away.
I've been here for 3 presentations myself.
Does anyone else have? I'm
I heard it the way you heard.
Yeah.
I thought they vetted. I thought that organizations went to them with a program in mind, and they validated that program to get funding through them.
Exactly.
Well, I'm more than happy to have a discussion about in a future meeting about that, but I'm not hearing that there's consensus that those are that's an inaccurate representation. Your question is not to the merits of whether it makes sense or not. Your question is that an accurate representation? You're saying it's not. I'm not hearing anyone else say that. Respectfully, I don't have any problem if they want to come back and say, hey, you mischaracterized this, go for it.
I don't think they're probably going to have access to our conversation. So, could I do more research?
Sure.
I mean,
do.
I just did not get that opinion at all.
Maybe we all missed it, but I'm hearing that is an accurate characterization of what we understood for them to say. If we missed it,
and I would say, as you point out, I was one of those that raised objections, and they didn't disagree with me. They said, we appreciate the fact that you're one of the few councils that just said, no, get out or whatever, but that we had a legitimate reason. I would have thought if it was the way you characterize it, we misunderstood it, they would have explained that to us or told us that. And I didn't think they did.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anything else? Randy, anything specific? Doug?
Yeah, actually, kind of a good segue. It's 40 charities.
Yeah.
I just noticed in our new business, we're combining a shredded event with a large item pickup day. And I'd like to see, and I'm here on behalf of the City Union Mission. I'm here representing myself. But I do work with them, so, you know, full disclosure. Just to seek the opportunity for our trucks to come through the community before Deffenbaugh comes through, just to be able to repurpose and reuse things that people could be blessed by that are just going to end up in the landfill.
I love that idea. I think it makes sense. You're just saying, hey, look, while we're shredding stuff and while we're throwing it out, why don't we donate first?
Right.
Yeah. Is there any feedback? Gail, do you have any thoughts on, you have
yeah, who was that? I missed who was talking on that one.
Doug was talking of other.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I am. In fact, I had on my agenda to reach out to Doug to, because, you know, we've got the upcoming November 9th shredded heavy trash, and I was going to reach out to him because when he and I had talked, we talked about, you know, maybe the truck coming later and that City Union or City Friends could come through with their trucks earlier or even the night before if that was the case. But, I just didn't know who was, I couldn't hear who was talking, but, if Doug was saying he wanted the opportunity to have the trucks come through to donate, I thought we were all for that.
Yeah, is there any? I don't hear anyone saying anything against
how they're coordinated. I'm 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, yeah. I'm wondering if we, if Gail and Doug can connect on the logistics. It sounds to me like a simple flyer, maybe the day before. Hey, before you throw it out, donate it. You know, instead of throwing it out, it's something that's, you know, leave it on your curb and they'll come by. Or I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Gail, but maybe you and Doug can coordinate and work out.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, that's
because,
great.
I mean, you know, I don't know, it's probably been 1 or 2 weeks ago or so that we set the date, and I just hadn't had an opportunity to reach out to Doug, but I knew he would be eager to want to participate in that.
So that makes perfect sense. I love that. That's terrific.
Doug, I think it's going to have to be the day before because I feel like they get there early in the morning. I feel like we do this in the spring and fall, and there's just not a lot of stuff out there, so they get around the lake quick. So I think the day before, it's got to be. That on Saturday might be pointless.
Well, and we can advertise that and the flyer, have your stuff out on
They usually get it over
Friday the 8th.
Morning or Friday. So Friday.
Okay, I'll coordinate Gail on that. We can set that up. And I can, you know, we can have our trucks here, you know, as early as 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday or later in the afternoon on Friday. So whatever.
Terrific.
Yeah, I think Friday.
It's probably going to be Friday evening though. Friday afternoon there won't be much out.
Yeah.
And they do by 7 o'clock. You'll be chasing them around the lake.
Yeah.
They're here early, early.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brady's absolutely right out there.
Okay. All right.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you.
Super. Thank you. And then, Mark, we'll have your report coming up here in a minute.
Sure.
Let's see. We'll get right to you in a minute with Mac. Here, if we could, I would entertain moving on to the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
From September meeting.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you. SMAC report, Bill.
Really, it's all connected to both Duck Cove and Optic. I'll cover Optic for just a moment. We are contracted, thank you, Ellis, with Optic, and that's all closed. This morning we ordered the drain, which is the one piece of equipment that will be, according to the bid that we had, so we went ahead and ordered it. The plan would be, the only difference is from what the paper said, is this is now drifting into 2020. It'll be a January delivery because of the lead time that's associated with it. And I think it's probably a good idea just because of what we have at Duck Cove and how long that's going to take. I don't want to get doing anything over there until we're done over here type of approach. So it'll be January when this occurs. That'll give us a chance to really drain the lake, and hopefully it will not be frozen when we attempt to put that in the ground. But basically, it's made in Iowa. It'll be delivered here, offloaded with the Opti equipment in it, and then it's our job to get it constructed. A very small part of it is the construction. They will then come in and commission it. In other words, Opti will bring people here and have it commissioned. We plan to have the same people who are responsible for the lake level, which John and I are going to finish in the next couple of weeks. In the box, by the way, good deal. To get that accomplished successfully, but those five people, Fred, Aaron, the two of us, Gary, I think that's about
George
it.
Winters.
George Winters, that's correct, because he needs to be aware of what that is. I'm not sure George will be on the Opti one, but all the rest of them. At a later date, we will probably be able to allow other people to check the website to see what the plan is, because it's an excellent weather report, and it's a little alternative to the local weather. They do a number of other analytics to get to their weather report to determine what they're going to do. We still have to determine if we will override and manually run that. That's, I believe, one person's opinion at QInc. I believe the rest of us believe it should be done automatically. But those are all to be determined. But I would say that will be up and running before the spring rains without any issues. And let's see. John is going to inspection college soon.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. There's also a second opening. I've asked Fred if he's interested in going back to school for one day to learn how to be an inspector for stormwater. The stormwater rules have just been passed in the local, the National Association. First thing required is that you basically inspect all of your assets, and they will do the same kind of report that's been done nationally on transportation infrastructure and electric infrastructure and everything else. So that civil engineers would give us an A, B, C, or D on stormwater. Part of this is that stormwater is the last bastion of pollution. The rest of them at least have some measure, and we have some understanding of what's going on in most of the water resources in the U.S., except for stormwater. So as you have always talked about, the I don't want to say screws will be tied down, but we're going to see a lot more regulations in terms of stormwater, which will affect more construction and everything else. It probably will be in our favor to work with Shawnee to try and control our upstream issues. Part of what Opti gives us and part of what we do already is monitor, and we'll have some good data out of Opti as to what's coming from Shawnee, at least on that part of the lake. Let's see, we have our stormwater inventory is being done. We have a meeting on Thursday morning.
I haven't heard that.
10 o'clock Thursday morning, Aaron, Fred, myself, and John, with the Johnson County stormwater people and their consultant to go over that information to determine what assets we have and what we need to measure and to inspect. That's really about it, except Duck Cove, and we'll leave it to that discussion. John, whatever time
it is. Aaron and I. Duck Cove is actually moving along. I will tell you one of my biggest concerns is when we closed the road, rerouted the school buses, having a lot of upset moms. Thanks to Aaron, she saved the day. The moms actually were turning it into a social event. The kids actually, well, Fred's guys were out there too, but the kids now get off the bus in the afternoon and they get to go to the beach. So they run down to the beach. And
I've actually had multiple moms ask me if we have to go back to the
A lot of this is due to Aaron.
I can't
right
help
there.
You with the tail end when you reopen the road when anger comes.
Okay.
So,
yeah. But it actually went real well. We did get the road closed. People are still sneaking through at least for another week or so until we bust out the culvert. I've had very minor complaints. We've been able to handle them all. The big thing is Aaron and I had a conference call with Lee Kellenberger this morning. Their calculations were a little bit off on financials, so Aaron corrected that. And we did file for an additional request for funding of $225,000. This is primarily to cover the engineering services agreement from Olson Engineering, Water One, $29,000, and approximately $110,000 for Kansas Gas. And then we put another $25,000 in just for contingency. We talked with Lee, and he said, yeah,
you really need to.
He really did. Back again.
Yeah,
if something
this is
pops
a one
up.
Time. I think that's probably all on that. He wasn't negative. He wasn't really positive either. The vote will be in November, and then the Board of County Commissioners has to do the final vote on it.
So I'm the groveler at the SMAC meeting, and I'll have to try and explain to my colleagues from all the other cities why we have a $225,000 hit. I'm hoping to have my two experts help with that process in terms of giving me the right kind of data. That meeting, who knows what they'll decide. We're to transition from one form of funding to a second in SMAC. So from 75-25 to 50-50. And we're kind of getting the last bucks out of the 75-25. There may be a reaction negatively to that. I've met with some of my colleagues. I'll see them again tomorrow morning for a SMAC meeting on process and procedures. And but the point is, we all have to be aware that that may not get approved. So there's three variables. Number one, with his help and Aaron's help, we'll get this finished without a change order. Okay? Never happened on a construction job, but this one might. And then secondly, we'll watch every penny and actually come in at a number where we don't need any money. But we won't know that until we're done with what we need. I'm begging money in November or December. We haven't set the date for that last SMAC meeting. And they may say no. I don't know if they will. This is probably, we're uncharted waters here. I hope they say yes, because there's money in the kitty. There's still money for this year in there. And if they say yes, we're good to go. If we hit it on a number, then we owe the 25%. We as the city and Q Inc. in terms of how that plays out. If they say no, we owe the money, the full amount. And we got to be thinking about that as a possibility. That's all I think you want to make sure of, and I want to make sure.
I've already notified Q Inc. The one advantage of this whole thing, all the surrounding cities, LSU can comment on, have been hit with the same thing from utilities. Utilities is 160,000 of it, 150, 160.
And so it's not going to be foreign to anyone.
They've done it to everybody. So,
yeah.
As far as timing, Kansas Gas was about a week and a half wait starting. So they're in the process right now. Today they're going under where the box culvert's going to go and put in the new gas line. Once they get that area done and tied in up close to the intersection, then VF Anderson will come in. We're hoping that VF Anderson can get in next week. They've already started delivering materials and equipment. Worst case will be the 21st, so the road closure will possibly, worst case, go to middle November, which would be a total of 6 weeks. But after what I've been seeing, it's a good thing we did close it when we did. It's a mess down there. I don't know if anything else, Aaron. You've been filed the first request for reimbursement. We got all that sorted out. So,
well, I tell you, between just all the communications, I'm CC'd on everything that you all have been doing, and you guys are just, John and Bill both are just doing a phenomenal job. And Kathy Aaron,
from Rose
Red. No, I know, but it's really, that's one of those projects that it just is so critically important to our community, and no one sees it. You know, it's like we always laugh about, it's a pain to buy roofs and tires because they're really expensive and you don't feel like you get anything out of them. And that's one of those projects that's so mission critical. No one's going to probably drive by and go, would you look at that culvert? Isn't that great? But I tell you, we're going to benefit for 100 years as a community because of your excellent work. And it's a lot of work, and I appreciate it, and we all appreciate it. That's a huge deal, guys.
Well, with this additional funding, the project's going to end up just over $1 million, of which hopefully 75% is the county.
So think about that. Out of Johnson County, we're getting the money for Opti, which is in the $78,000 range plus, which is a dribble, but $78,000 plus $750,000. I believe we have our money's worth out of Johnson County.
That's huge. Absolutely huge. And as you all know, those are big numbers, particularly for a small municipality like that. So,
one last thing I forgot to cover. John and I had Tom Haig, our my pump hydro guy, come out and look at the leak in the dam in the
the spillway there.
Yeah, and he's going to make some drawings and look at what we can do. And it basically means as we drop the lake level, we need to seal that area in between and leave it as is and he says there's no problem. This happens all the time. We're lucky that it's lasted in terms of the seal as long as it has. The second thing he did is John and I took a walk down at the spillway and looked for alternatives. And he did raise a couple dealing with just rip it out from downstream part and come back with just a pad that's 12 to 15 feet wide that's got a slight dip to it. And then riffraff the sides and reduce the amount of concrete that we have. If we go that particular route, we need to have a committee of citizens to decide how we would like to move forward instead of in terms of beautification or other things associated with it, because we're not returning to the same spillway control concrete on all sides. And it's more of a, what do we want to do with that particular step? We still have to coat the concrete up around the bridge all the way up. That area has to be done 6 inches. That's not no change. But downstream, we've got a decision as a community to make as to what to make this look like and last hopefully the same 100 years or 90 years that it has at a lower number than what it's going to take to concrete the whole thing again. That was his suggestion. I'm going to ask you for some ideas on it.
Very interesting.
Well, great.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. That's it.
Aaron, did I see on the financial, did we already pay Kansas Gas?
We did.
Pay them up front.
Yep. Water Run and Kansas Gas needed their money before they would even order the parts.
And the city's already been reimbursed.
Yes, and Q-Inc.
Actually, they got the
check
reimbursement
too. Yeah, we had the reimbursement check from Q-Inc before I even wrote the money for.
Good news.
Yep, and John hand-delivered them.
Great.
Good job on the desk.
Good job.
Thank you very much. Treasurer's report. Aaron? Oh, let me just stop for a moment. Gail, any comments or questions or concerns?
No, not at this point.
Okay, thank you. Aaron, treasurer's report?
Okay. One thing I want to point out on the treasurer's report, I added a little line at the top under building deposit liability on this first page for the cash bond account that we had discussed at a previous meeting. That was one of the things that Kathy has been helping us with, making sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and that was something we needed to have. So you'll see that with the money that fluctuates depending on what we have going on.
Is that on the balance
sheet? On the court side. It's on this main treasurer's report.
Oh, up here.
Right towards the top where building deposit liability and then cash bond liability. Put a one in there. On to the regular treasurer's report, we were 6% below budget for the month, which brings us to just at even for the year. 37% below budget for expenses, which brings us to 1.5% below for the year. A couple of things to point out. You'll see the road and parks funds one are so below budget, because if you recall last month we were waiting for quite a few checks from Q Inc. We are now good to go. We're paid up in full. A couple things on the check liability or check detail. One of the ones I wanted to point out was on page 3, that $17,961 to Olson. That's one that Q Inc. has already paid us back for, but that's related to Duck Cove. Moving on to page 4, there's $6,300 to Burns and Mac, which we took out of the reserve funds. That's the starting check in the Opti project. So that number should change by the end of the year once we get everything set up with the county and the reimbursement, but that's there now. You'll see the $110,000 to Kansas Gas to get started on Duck Cove, which has already been paid back. Our sewer bill with our interest and principal is always due every September. That's also on page 4, the $107,000. On page 5, we did, Gail and I met last month with Brad Lackey. We've had some confusion on some of our Q Inc. bills getting charged for things that are not belonging to us. Gail and I had a really positive, productive meeting with him, but you'll notice that we paid 2 months during September. That was July and August because we were waiting for those bills to be corrected. And then...
Who's Brad Lackey?
He's grounds and maintenance.
Oh, okay.
He's the one who does is in charge of doing most of the work for us, and then he's the one who writes down what his crew have done and sends that to Debbie.
he had it under the impression that we were in charge of all of the front entrance monument landscaping. Everything around the fence kind of going up Quivira Lane, a lot of those were not city things that they had thought were, but quick, good meeting and got that corrected. No journal entries this month. And I think that's it. So I can answer any questions.
Wait, on the check detail, may I ask Mayor? I'm sorry.
Sure. Absolutely.
What's ICE systems?
That is Stefan Zuckenberger. He is our IoT guy.
Okay.
Yep. That's the name of his company. Oh, yes. John reminded me that we did get the, at the end of last month, remember when our, we had paid a lot and we're waiting for queuing to pay us a lot back. That same week, we were able to get that reimbursement agreement in place with Ellis's help. And so we have an agreement in place. And that's when we also received all of the checks at that same time.
Great. Any other questions for Aaron? I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval of the treasurer's report.
Second.
A motion and approval to approve the treasurer's report. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Chief Grenier.
Everybody received my report, 12 citations, 3 warnings, 4 reports, 11 HBO reports, and 367 residential patrols and 128 property checks. If anybody had questions on the four reports or any other questions.
Kind of slowed down in the fall month.
That it has.
How are the cameras coming?
They were here doing wiring and installing some of the cameras. They're not active yet, but one's right above your head. So
we're watching you, Dave.
Yeah. Right along.
I imagine the glare is going.
Yeah.
Should have worn a hat.
So,
you should upgrade the cameras.
I think they have a no glare. At least I'm sure.
I'm right here. I hear everything you say. It's really hurtful.
They're great.
Thank you for doing all that.
Any other questions for Fred? Okay. Mark Steffen.
I'm here for my American government class. Be 16 or 17 a year for your American government class. I wanted to update the council on the last fire truck, the 1983 Pierce fire truck. There's been absolutely no interest in that truck. Through my distribution and with the Pierce dealer in Missouri, the Pierce dealers in Iowa, the Pierce dealers in Arkansas, and what have you. Now, granted, it's only been about 45 or 60 days other than word of mouth, but everybody's aware that that truck's for sale, and they're discussing it, but we have had no opportunity to sell that truck. And you're paying insurance on that truck. As we've discussed privately, the fire truck market is just full of used fire trucks. Everything from $3,000 to $4,000 to $8,000. They don't bring a lot of money. I put it out there at $18,500 because of the hose, because of the nozzles, because of everything that's ready to go. Okay, I mean, other than this pump test, it could go into service. So I think what we need to do is we need to lower the price on this truck. And if we're unsuccessful with a lower price, then I believe we're probably down to the eBay and the Purple Wave auction for the state of Kansas and things like that, with a minimum and maximum being set for that truck. Yeah, I'm sentimentally attached, and I realize I might overvalue it, but if somebody had a truck there and they lost an engine or they're trying to get by, yeah, what a great way to, you know, fill the gap until you get funding. So we just haven't seen any interest in it at $18,500. And I'm going to suggest to the council that we take it down to $14,000 and try the same distributors, because that's the network of people that sell fire trucks in all these states. There's also a company called Brindley Mountain. I believe they're out of Alabama. And they, you know, they list thousands of trucks. I don't think it would hurt us to put the truck with them at this point. But let's give that a try at around $14,000. There's no fire truck season per se, so I'm not worried about spring, winter, and what have you. But you're obviously paying insurance on that truck of some sort, correct? And I know that you want to liquidate it. So with the council's permission, and that's the reason I'm here tonight, is just to update you where we are. I suggest we take the advertisement I currently have, broaden the distribution, $14,000, and then I'll come back to you at a later date if we're unsuccessful, and we'll lower it again and even probably set a minimum and maximum for auction purposes and see if we can move it.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, how long do you...
But, you know, 3 months, or... I suggest we give it at least 60 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 90 days before we get in. Unless you have an insurance bill that offsets that, if you will. I nobody's driving it and what have you, but obviously you want to have it insured.
Yeah.
Have we changed the insurance to just...
I remember we eliminated the old one that was sold. The other one was sold.
Yeah, and I believe this one was already on minimum use.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We are meeting with them next week.
Yeah.
So we'll go over that just to make sure.
If there's a way to decrease your exposure and still have coverage when we're driving it to sell it, that's my only concern.
Right.
If you lost it in a fire or something like that, I mean, you probably can't get away from that type of insurance, but still. It has a minimal value to it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And again, municipalities give fire engines to other municipalities, and there's just so many in the marketplace. And we're talking 1982, 1983. People become fearful of mechanical issues and such. Nobody treats a truck like Lake Prairie treated.
Right.
So it is exceptional, and I think it's worth holding out for and you know, taking another run at it. We're working on it.
Yeah. I had a member approach me about it at the club. I assume you guys are aware of all that.
What's that now?
I had a member approach me about buying it at the club.
No member has contacted me about that truck.
Leon Ricky.
I had a conversation with Leon.
The dollar value
was low.
Much lower than...
Yeah,
he had interest in, I'm sorry, engine 120 at $3,000 or $4,000 when we sold it too. His interest may be more for hauling water than anything.
Well, he didn't mention the price to me. He almost indicated like he wanted it more for almost the
nostalgia.
Price is probably nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't mention a price.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, it is what it is. If he had some interest, I mean, you know, it's worthwhile with the city. I have no objection to it. But
he gave me a number. It was pretty low. So I think we should go 60 days, see what happens. And then when you come back, have a, you know, you go the eBay route or whatever it is, just have a minimum bid that.
Yeah, maybe $10,000 on a minimum bid and just move the truck at that point.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to that point with it. Just know there are thousands of them in the marketplace. And
yeah,
someone's
none like this.
Just none like that, but you need the right buyer for that.
Of course.
On when we reach that, okay, we're done. I would rather go whatever the minimum is, I'd rather go and advertise at that minimum so we don't have to pay the eBay fees. Although if we go Purple Wave, if they have a reserve type option, I know those fees are passed on to the buyer and not the seller.
Okay.
So I think we just need to explore that before we, let's say $12,000, and then we put a $10,000 reserve on eBay, and then we're eating up seller fees. So.
And Redley Mountain has a $500 fee to list, so we might as well do that. And if we sell it outright, through a private party, we'll have to pay some sort of commission. But
sure.
The point is, it's time to move the truck.
Right. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
And then I've been through all the paperwork, now that it's completely organized, but I've been through just about every piece of paper except the years of the actual calls, which you think 5 years is sufficient to keep from the standpoint of our records?
I can't imagine why we're keeping them at all.
Well, there's some that were spectacular and have some, video and images and photos and such with them, but
we don't have any notice of claims for anything.
No, and they're all on file with the state regardless. I mean, they're all with the INFR system and CAFR system, so I would kind of agree with them. So we can condense the fire department history into essentially a file cabinet out there, and I've gone through it and kept the important papers and those that I think are historical and disposed of the rest. So I'll continue to work on that a little bit and then spend some time with it this winter, because I'm probably the only person that can go through it and really put put it in order, some kind of chronological order.
Okay.
So, that's what I have. So
I wonder, is there anybody in the community that kind of does those Shutterfly books or whatever, which is really cool. I mean, we could even contribute to them doing that and have some keepsakes with some of the photos and little stories and stuff to coordinate with you. That'd be really cool.
You know, actually, Marty, my wife, does one every year for our family.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be right away.
She's a little behind, and she's having a surgery here in a week or so, and she's looking for stuff to do, and that was one of her projects, was to do another family book. And if we can get her pictures, she is really good at that.
Well, I think it would be worth the city contributing something to have a keepsake. You know, the years that we've done, instead of just having them sit in a file cabinet.
Yeah. So once I put everything in some sort of order, even some of the documents might be contributing, you know, factor to having that be more than just images and pictures, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll get with Brady and see what we can do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
A little bit of progress there. The other thing, this has been time consuming. The county threw another 10-year history book on us, okay? We thought we were done, all right? So we're going to have about 8 pages in the county history book, which is the last 10 years of service, tagged in with Shawnee. Marion will be tagged in with Overland Park. And then there's another consolidation going on with District 2 and the Johnson County Fire Department network as well. So I spent a lot of hours trying to pull together 8 or 9 pages and context and captions and what have you, and worked through it, we've turned it in and what have you. But I thought I was done with wiring radios and history books, okay? So when they print that, and it will be December or probably early next year, obviously we'll have to purchase maybe 5 or 10 copies at a minimum to support it, but you'll certainly have those available to take a look at.
Great.
All right?
Thanks.
Good to visit. I miss council meetings. I really do.
We miss you.
Thank you. Take care. We'll see you all around.
All right.
Do we need to sign anything for that government class?
Was it? No. I think we'll leave. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers. Okay. Clerk's report. Anything to add verbally to your report?
I don't.
Congratulations on the scholarship.
Thank you. I'm very happy and excited to get that letter that I got full scholarship for the Clark School, because that's a week-long tuition, lodging, everything.
That's great.
Pretty big deal.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you for the minutes were exhausted. And there were
novel.
There were 18 pages. God bless Candy. She went through the whole thing, and I really appreciate it. And we're getting real. I think we're almost there to be able to post the audio on the website. We'll get to that. But thank you for that's kind of.
I think we all heard most of all are really looking forward to when that day.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So great.
Thank you.
Ellis, anything specific?
No, sir, thankfully.
Okay, great. No news is good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
as far as mayor's report, we did have the mayor and council are invited to a December 4th holiday party. However, the new council and new mayor will be sworn in the 2nd of December, as I understand it. So
the three of us are going out to dinner. And
So we'll cross that bridge as it comes, I suppose. But,
I thought we had our December meeting, and then January was when we were sworn in.
Historically, that's how it's taking place. But
we passed something.
Yeah, the new, it makes perfect sense. They passed a new ordinance adopting the states, basically they provided an avenue for us to swear in the new, just because everyone would sit around for a month on the way out and with a whole new group on the way in, and it just made perfect sense. So
that's going to be a mess for every city.
It's cool. So we'll figure that out. But regarding, let me stop for a moment. Gail, any comments or questions or we've covered a handful of things. Anything we need to back up to? Forgive me for not bringing it up sooner.
Oh, no, not to what we talked about right now. I was going to say when you were talking about the Christmas party that, it'll be sad. Not everybody will be there. Maybe none of us will be. Well, some of us will be there, but, well, maybe not me. But I thought we represented our little city really well at the last holiday party for all the other cities, and that was really a great function and stuff. And so hopefully we can support that as we did this year. I think we were most all of us were there, so that was cool.
Yeah, no, it is very. I talk often with other mayors at the Council of Mayors about just the dynamics of the council, and we're very fortunate to enjoy each other as human beings and as neighbors and friends. And Ellis has probably seen other cities that have different dynamics, and none in particular, but just over the years. But we're very fortunate to have.
Last year we had a couple people from Overland Park wanting to sit with us.
They did.
I hate them.
So, but anyway, Gail, that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up because it is something we have every appropriate right to be thankful for. So, I did want to also bring up, it's in new business, but we can discuss now the Meet the Candidates forum. Kathy reached out to the candidates, and it appears as the obvious, I mean, at risk of stating the obvious, getting a date that's perfect for everyone is impossible. So getting something that works is amazing. And it seems, Kathy, my understanding is that October 23rd, every candidate had availability that evening.
Yes.
So and it seems that since I would be happy to work, with your all's permission, I'll work with Kathy directly since I'm not running, and we will work out just the specifics of that event. I think I'd love feedback. What we've discussed is to simply have each candidate just take a couple minutes, not give some big speech, but just simply make an introduction, who they are, what the purpose for their interest. I can open up with a couple remarks. We'll keep it relatively informal, and then give folks an opportunity to mix and mingle and ask specific questions of the candidates and get to know folks that they have yet to get to know. So,
would you be posting this in their newsletters and stuff?
Yeah, we'll work through getting it all posted. First choice, I wanted to meet with the council, just make sure that sounds agreeable to everyone, that we can have the event. If the clubhouse is available, we'll do it there. The city will pay for, I don't know if we'll have some appetizer drinks or something that to a certain point, I suppose.
No problem.
Can I
say something?
Yes.
Kathy and I talked this morning because I saw that looked like that's the date.
Yes.
And I know that I reached out to Katie Osborne this morning, but she actually won't be back in the office until, she's our new event person, until Wednesday. But I do know that, I know that there's a 7 o'clock meeting, a 7 o'clock program. This is Garden Club's last program of the year, and we're trying to make it a big deal with appetizers and drinks. So that's at 7. And I know that the Q2 board is meeting. They have the great room. I think they're meeting upstairs. And so, Katie can figure out all of this. But the only thing I was going to throw out is, would we, because when Larray, Nelson was there at our last meeting, I know this sounds probably not all that important, but when she was there, she said, "Oh my God, that our program is big. Is it your program is at the same time?" And what I was wondering, would we ever consider changing this meeting to be 6:30 to 7:30, and then? the speaker that's coming to our program be 7:30 to 8:30 so that we wouldn't have all the people, I mean, one or the other is going to be, you know, in conflict with each other. And I just thought, well, maybe we could help that out by just moving it up a half hour. And I know the Q2 Foundation meeting is that night. And anyway, I know this can all happen this night. And you know, if we can't move the time up just a half hour and the garden closes back a half hour, you know, then it is what it is. But I would just like to throw that out as a potential so that we don't have two appetizer bar, you know, chip bar things going on, the Q2 meeting, and regular dining. If we could just spread it out, even by a half hour, that would help.
Yeah, that's good feedback. Erin?
We don't have a Q2 board meeting that night.
No, and nor is there a foundation.
Yes, the 17th.
When we booked our meeting for that night for the garden club, it was, they had the grape room that night, and we said, well, we wanted it that night.
No, we meet on the third Thursday of every 17th. Month, so it's the 17th, so I'm not sure what Q2 would be then.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't think the foundation has anything. But so anyway, Randy, I'm sorry.
Is that what it is?
Sports and Rec.
Sports and Rec.
Okay. There's a subcommittee of which you're referring to on Q2. But your point is well received. I think 6:30 works. Does anyone have any?
No problem.
A little earlier, but I think that's fine. Yeah. Good feedback, Gail. We'll shoot for. Would you make a note, Kathy? We'll shoot for 6:30. And Kathy, could you check with the clubhouse about
it? Well, she's going to get back because I have a relationship with her. Oh,
great.
It doesn't matter. But
yeah, that's great.
I asked
wonderful.
Kathy to get back with me Wednesday when she returns from her being off for a couple of days, just so that we could make sure that there's not a conflict. I mean, I wanted to make sure we had enough room.
Right.
You know,
no, that's a very good point.
The best places to hold this.
Thanks.
To hold the things that were going on. But it sounds like, because I knew that, I thought Mark Kistler was involved in something that night, you know, meeting that was going to be in the brain room. But that's good if that's not the main foundation meeting. Because if there was one, they can just as well go down to the conference room.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't
for their
have
meeting.
Yeah.
If it's a side meeting.
I don't
mind. Yeah, no, the foundation meets, it's different.
Thursday.
No, it's actually the 25th.
Okay, since I sent Katie an email today, I mean, I can double check with her.
Okay.
I just want to make sure, since I was the person that arranged for the speaker for this garden club event and is kind of in charge of that. I don't, you know, it's okay if I'm late arriving, but I didn't want to, like, not be there. Of course, I would always come to the candidates thing, but I thought, well, maybe we could just, you know, if we could just, you know, change it out just by a half hour, that would help the situation.
That's a great idea. So you will then, just so we're clear, Gail, you'll reach out to Kathy when you hear back from the clubhouse regarding availability, and then Kathy, you'll reach out to me and we'll work out the specifics of that. So great. Well, that's super, Gail. Thank you very much. That's terrific.
And I like the appetizer idea, but if we just do ice water, iced tea, lemonade, that's it. I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, do a part of themselves.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be buying food.
Okay.
No, Costco works. Based on past experience.
Civic involvement would go through the roof, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
we have no idea how many people are going to be there.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, good point. Well, received. Okay, areas of responsibility. Gail.
And in the evening, and there'll be a black box flyer that goes out. something. So I think it'll be a really good program, and we are having a bar there. It's opening at 6:30, so people can come and have a little social event before that event. I don't think it's going to last any longer than it'll just be, you know, 7 to 8, I would imagine. Then we've got the we talked briefly about the heavy item or the large item pickup in conjunction with the shredded event. So that's all been, I checked with Waste Management on that, so that's all, they're all good on that, and it's just, now it's just the coordination with what time they're going to come versus, you know, what time Doug would, I, you know, would be the ideal time for him to have the first run through before the trucks come. The next thing is, I was, of course, you know, Aaron and I had a really good discussion. There really has not been a good understanding. You know, I think it's been real confusing with all the new, the monuments and the digital board and our city markers and new people involved and all of this, that there really was not a good understanding at all with Q Inc. as far as what is the city's responsibility for paying and what is Q Inc.'s. And I think there was this thought that anything like the Siler property, anything that wasn't inside our gates, totally inside of our gates, was the city's responsibility. And, so we went through all, Aaron and I went through all that with Brad and made sure, because we were being charged for all the plantings for the new front monument. You know, and that was actually a Q Inc. thing, even though it's outside of the gates. And, you know, all the new fencing and all of that, I mean, that was a Q Inc. thing. And, of course, you know, they need to take care of the property along Quivira Lane. But we were just being charged a lot of extra money. So, you know, taking care of that. Though in the meantime, I told Brad, I said, you know, you guys aren't just free to do anything without us knowing that you're doing it, you know, spending, you know, deciding to take down trees or whatever it is. I mean, because we need to be aware of what's going on. And lo and behold, we had, you know, there's a disease, a rose disease. It's called the Rosette disease, and it's pretty prevalent all over Lake Revere and probably all over Kansas City. Anyway, most of our roses along in the beds along the north side of Holiday have that disease, and many have died. Anyway, I gave Brad the approval to remove all of them. You have to get rid of them. I mean, they're, you know, the things spread. So they have removed all the roses and they've replaced them, I think to the tune of, oh, I don't know, it's probably $400 or so. They've replaced them with 22, plants that actually will have greenery all winter long. However, they have little flowering at all. And so then they'll probably come back around and put some perennials or whatever in those. But they had to do it, you know, so I gave the approval to do that just because I knew that, you know, this isn't something that we would need to, that we should be discussing or not. And then Gary reached out, Gary Goss reached out to me, and the people that sub out to BPU, they had contacted him, and then he contacted me, and he and I met with the tree trimming, or the people that trim under the electrical poles, and they're responsible for the east side of Holiday and a little part of Quivira Lane and then all the way down some of our property that's in the Silent property area, 78th Street. Anyway, I think we're going to be really, really happy that they do this all, of course, for no charge. And we met with them to make sure, and especially I wanted to make sure that we don't want any butchering of anything. I mean, the guy that we met with is probably, I think he's a 30-year guy, and he's really, really good. And so they're getting ready to do the east side of Holiday Drive from 78th Street, basically from where the nursery is there, right across the street from where Leon's property is. They're going to be going on the south side of Holiday, and they're going to cut it back probably about 20 feet, but there's just junk there. There's just a bunch of junk there. And I think it may be a shock in the beginning, but I think it'll look a lot better than what it does now. And then they'll come back around in a month or two and hit the other side where our stone city marker is, which is Q-Inc has not had an opportunity yet to fill in and do what needs to be done there. So, but they're going to be getting rid of a bunch of just the bad stuff that's there that Q-Inc was going to have to do. So I think that's all good news. Let's see, what else? I reached out to the folks on the Q-Inc board that are gathering things about their sign project. I haven't heard back from them yet on that, but I know that will potentially will probably be involved in that next year, as I reported, if assuming the budget, the whatever they're allotting in their budget, that'll be voted on. Will probably be involved in that, and I think that's all.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Gail? Thank you, Gail. Bruce?
I have nothing other than finally remember my wife sitting on the road, and Fred tells me that he talked to him about Wednesday. Thursday about getting Quivira Lane.
Weather dependent, as always.
May close Quivira Lane for a few hours, so we have to go to 78th Street and do it all at one time. They can get a bigger piece of equipment in there and do it faster. That's how anyway, and are they, did they do anything with ditches? Because that was part of his agreement to get in and do some stuff.
He did not go into any details on that with me at all.
Okay. Or you might ask if you see them or whatever, if they contact you, because they haven't contacted me. Anyway, so that's all I have.
The ditches I'm home.
I did, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Grace. Dave, everything's okay. Haven't heard anything wrong about the gas station. Terry is on top of things, so.
Okay, I saw some of those.
I would just suggest that the new person that's got the gas station, meet with them and get to know him. So he's a good guy and he'll help us out, but I think it helps to have a rapport with Ethan. Terry Presley.
Fred,
Terry
was leaving and we were going to meet with the new tenant. Not that you were almost done with your term.
Yes.
It's late Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Anything else, Dave? Thank you. Just to make sure that he gives us the X amount increase in January.
Yes.
He usually has to be reminded.
A couple times.
Pressure. Okay, Brady.
Yep. After last month's meeting, Aaron, Fred, and Kathy and I met. Just kind of went through the website. We went through different city websites, and I think we included pretty much anything and everything that we could think of that are safe than sorry. Sent those requests in. They made the changes. Sent it back. We all have access to it now, so if Brad needs to upload any documents, if Kathy needs to upload the minutes, anything like that, they all have access to that. The only thing was for the app, apparently Apple is requiring a Dun's number, a Dun & Bradstreet number, which is kind of like a business identity number. Randy, you might know what that is. For Android, I guess they don't require it. Apple does now, apparently, so I had to apply for that, which was a piece of cake. Got the number, everything submitted. He told me it just takes a couple days after that, so we'll see. It's gonna have our logo as the app on your phone or iPad or whatever it is. The site is mobile also. So looking forward
to all the alert functionality. I think I forwarded to you, Leslie,
trees.
Yeah, I got that right when I sat down, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Could you reach out to her and just give her an update on it?
I will.
So we, and I spoke with Kathy a couple times about it. It sounds like we're within days of getting this whole thing up and
running. Yeah, I mean, you could go now and just, you know, whenever you have time, just add stuff. You know, one of the things that we added was, you know, our government. So we wanted to do pictures and bios, but, you know, at this point,
right,
we might as well wait for December, yeah, January. But, yeah, we can start uploading all sorts of stuff now, processing payments, all that stuff. So,
great. And then my sense is that as that rolls out and as it becomes relevant, as the dog registration, mm-hmm, and when it's appropriate for the alerts system and whatever, we can just drip market that out to the community just so they're, hey, this is available. This is,
yeah.
So, okay.
Yep.
So right now we just have the construction thing on there. Is that correct? Our web page is currently.
That'll come down, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch some tutorials, yeah.
And we think that will happen in the next few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. I say we just go ahead and start it soon and just add stuff, you know, like I said, whenever you have time.
Okay. I'm totally
fine. Have we had an overall, or maybe it's not happened quite yet, but I can't remember if I saw on the Quiveron anything kind of a heads up saying that our new website is coming. I mean, what is our communication strategy within Lake Quivira for our own, you know, residents that this thing actually exists and all the good things we've done with it and all of that? I mean, do people already know this is in the works?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's kind of where I was going with the whole notion of kind of drip marketing as the functionality becomes salient. As animal registration comes up, we can, you know, send people to the website as the alert system becomes available. We can send them to the app, and I think my sense is that multiple aspects of the functionality can add, can keep sending people to the website and the app to kind of acquaint people with it. I'm open to other ideas, but that seems to kind of an organic approach to that rather than if we have a big launch and say, hey, look at all this great stuff, it's going to be probably more relevant when there's something specifically to solve with it. So that would be my two cents on it. I'm open to other ideas. But
yeah, I feel like it's been discussed either in your mayor's report or in the minutes about the, you know, the logo, the motto, the branding, all that stuff with the website and app. So I think people are aware that it's coming. But yeah, I like the idea of just kind of group marketing it.
So,
hey Ben, or
yes,
actually Brady.
Yeah.
Is there any thought to allow the Quivira Inc. website?
Yeah, we
link to this so that literally you go into Quivira Inc. and there's a link straight here. You go to one place, you can get everything.
Yeah, so on the bottom we've got a quick links section. The City of Shawnee, Lake Quivira Country Club, utilities.
What about the other way though?
From Q-Inc.
to
here.
Q-Inc. to here, lakequivira.org. To this one.
Yeah, they would have to set that up on their end, but.
Okay, you've not talked to them?
I have not.
Let me do some check.
Okay.
I think it needs to go both ways.
Yeah, I do too. If there's something I can talk to you about that, I'm happy to do it.
I gotta find out if you've talked. Actually, I'm gonna go talk to Lisa Smith.
Okay.
I think it's Lisa because she does all of the email marketing.
Right. Yeah.
But
I'm gonna see her tomorrow. Let me ask, and if she's interested, I'm gonna tell her just to get with you.
Yeah, we just figured there'd be so much confusion between City Lake Quivira and QA.
Well, I think more people probably on a daily basis access the lakequivira.org than they do the city.
Yes.
So if they're comfortable getting in there, then they can
come
over here and get the dog licenses or whatever.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Lisa and I'll tell her that, you know, we support it. She just needs to get with you.
Okay. Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, that was it. You guys heard about the deer harvest. We'll see what happens with that.
Great.
Brady, I have one point for you. Within the past week, I had that one person come into the office and ask if we're doing golf polos with the city logo because they were interested in purchasing some. And I had one person ask me if we have any extra hats because they really wanted to buy some of those too. So I'm not sure if we have any merchandise on the
horizon. I don't know if we have anything left.
We have a few hats left. We have some youth shirts left. And we have quite a few cozies left.
Let's place an order.
I've had multiple people ask me for the golf polo.
Do you want to take a look at some of the things that we can do? T-shirts, golf shirts, hats, and piggyback on what you already did with the. That was kind of a 4th of July,
right?
But take our standard colors and. Let's do some t-shirts. And
Brady,
and
will you send me Kim's? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, she's got everything set up on the file, so that might be the...
That's a good moment, so I can see what people do.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll send
you... 4 minutes on deer harvest. Does each hunter, can they choose specific dates to hunt as long as they're within 30 consecutive days of the end date so they don't have November 26th or whatever that was, so one hunter can do 30 consecutive days here and another here as long as it ends by this date.
I think whoever's in the hunting program has to, they all have to do the same 30-day period.
Okay, that would be
correct. That's how I... Okay.
Yes, and they have to be completed by the 27th, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And Bob Forberg is now the person that's kind of coordinating.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Brady, anything else?
No.
Police radar and patrol car video. Brett?
Sometimes when things break, they just all want to break at the same time. So our police car radar and video unit both have been working intermittently. I've obtained some quotes for a radar unit and a laser unit. Which I had been planning on doing anyway. We have the laser unit as a demo to see how well it works here in this environment. And the radar is supposed to be delivered maybe next Monday. So we'll try those. I can get quotes and estimates from other companies as well if you would like me to, but... the radar, for sure, we would need. And the laser, I think we could probably push that back to the next council meeting if I get more feedback from the officers, whether it is a worthwhile investment. I can tell you that the first day that I used it, I was able to get a violation that I would not have been able to get with the radar. So it has its place and benefits, but whether it's worth the $2,400 or whatever that is. I think that's a more in-depth discussion for maybe next meeting.
Okay, so you're saying you definitely need the 2730 for the radar?
Yeah, we do need a new radar, and they could not answer when I asked whether they would take our old one in a trade. They said maybe. So I would definitely explore that as much as I could to reduce that cost. And as well as shop around for some other units possibly. But I think the no greater than $2,800 would be a good dollar amount. So provided I think we have that in the budget. So if you remember earlier in the year when I asked for the bumper repair, I never did have that done, which worked out to my advantage, or our advantage, I should say, because the... I think it was the, where they did the work in front of the community center. Someone, could have been me, I don't know, bent up the bumper a little bit, so we would have had to do more repairs anyway. So it's kind of, something in the back of my head said, don't repair yet. So we still have that money that I hadn't spent if we need to be cautious for the budget. So I'll make sure that the funds are there to discuss that with Aaron before we just say... Yes.
So the idea would be to approve for for tonight, the radar not to exceed $2,800 with the idea of the laser being still tested. That would be your recommendation.
Correct. And with the, I will have more information on the video system, which is out of warranty as well, for the next meeting. And hopefully get information on. Go ahead.
Do we need a motion on it? I mean, is that just repairing existing equipment?
Yeah, I think it's a budget. Yeah, I mean, it is.
It's just a spending authority. If you recall anything over $500, I always bring it to the council. To ensure that you guys are aware of what I'm buying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, it probably isn't, technically it may not be required, but I will entertain a motion.
So move.
Yep.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion for the approval of Fred's judgment to purchase the radar solution, whatever makes sense, not to exceed $2,800. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
None opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Aaron, quotes for audit.
So I'm contacted by our auditing firm who has done our audit since I've been here plus, so at least the past 7 years. And they are ridding themselves of their governmental auditing department. The person who has been in charge of ours the past couple of years has gone off on his own and started his own firm. He knew that one of the things that we were unhappy about was the price kind of creeping up. He is willing to take us on as one of his clients for a not to exceed $8,400, which is exactly where we were this past year. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now. In all of this, though, we've been contacted by three or four other people that I've kind of given our information to and have not received quotes from them, but I'm assuming that barring a large financial difference, since this other person is familiar with us and knows what it takes to audit our city of this size. And
that's a big deal, knowing we're not like other small cities either, so...
It'd be interesting to know, maybe next time you can tell us what those other, I think we should have let this guy or gal do it.
Yes.
But I'd like to know what those other quotes were.
Absolutely. And yes. I told him that he most likely would have our business, but that I would take it to the council first and double check only because it's a different company name and all of that kind of stuff. Meishauser was the one that we're with.
Okay.
And then this person in particular, he started a company. I know his first name's Matt, and the company is his last name, Chapman Associates or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're comfortable with him, he's done it before with us.
It's more of just curiosity, testing the system. What do we...
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, that all these other companies that are coming after it, probably anyone who had Meishauser, which I think is a lot of the smaller cities in Kansas, are being reached out to by these other ones. One of them's out of Manhattan, one's out of Topeka, and one's out of Florence. So out of
you don't want the one out of Manhattan?
Three that we've had. They're building, I was up there this weekend, and they are building a beautiful brand new building, which I'm sure will be reflected in the price. So, no vote required, more of a thank you, Dave. I like the feedback. I was kind of leaning that way to just go with this guy, but more of just an FYI. So, when you see the audit documents, it will no longer say Meishauser.
Great. Good deal. Any other items for the agenda or any other items thought of?
Fred, there was this thing about sealing the parking lot.
The one thing, Ben, that as we, and I know this is just like a minor little thing, but as we were talking about our city merchandise and people are asking about it, I know I wear my little white hat with the cool logo on it, and I get so many remarks on it. They love that little cap. But I would, chair of the czar again this year, and we could put, I think this would be a good thing for us to have at the end of, we kind of have an internal booth that will, have a raffle and some of the garden club things, but at the end of that, I would like to have, I've got some Lake Quivira
think that's a great idea, and you know, as you were saying, that I got thinking about the mayor's Christmas tree. We're always looking for things to give out. That might be kind of fun. Have some elves throwing T-shirts to kids or something. I don't know, but I think that makes perfect sense. I can't imagine anyone opposing that.
If they want to have the cool hats and some of our, our logo is different.
People love the city of Lake Carrera. People love living here.
And, you know, there's people that wonder, well, where'd you get that? You know.
No, that's a great point.
But anyway, this is something I don't have to know right now, but that's something we can think about before our November meeting. But I'd be happy to have our group help promote that.
That's terrific. And I mentioned, I kind of sent mixed messages. I sent something to Aaron, and then also to Brady did the first round.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a second round? Do you want to give her the contact information and have Aaron do it? I just didn't want to, I wasn't clear.
No, that's fine. I already sent it to Aaron, but
okay.
I'm happy to help and do whatever.
Do you want to just pick out some things and maybe
yeah.
informally check with Kathy, maybe me, Brady? Like other council members, whatever. I think we've approved
a
lot.
They want to have a lot.
You're a lame duck, too.
Exactly. What is my opinion count anymore? Right? So, okay. Great. That's terrific. Anything else?
Well, Brett, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Lastly, this gentleman stopped in today. And provided a quote to seal and stripe our parking lot. Again, this wasn't anything I reached out for. He just stopped in. I said, hey, if you want to quote the parking lot, feel free to, and I would pass this on. I don't recall specifically what it cost last time to have the parking lot seal coated and striped and whether this is a reasonable amount, but I think we'll let the council provide any feedback on that. And if you like to explore that, great. I'll email him and let him know either way.
Is he bonded in insurance?
I would assume so, given his car, but I'm sure we'll check that before we say yes.
I think they did the lot last time and then the little portion over here in front of the
right.
I don't remember how much it was.
Who did it? If anyone knows who did it for sure, then I can check it. That would be the only way
Mark.
Or if we know what year it was done.
I want to say Mark coordinated it.
Stefan?
Yeah, I could be wrong, but
the only comment I have on it, I mean, it probably needs it. But at the last meeting, we talked about maybe reconfigure the entry and all that. If that's in the offing in the future,
right.
Then it wouldn't be smart to wait.
Right.
If it's not, then it wouldn't be wise to do it.
I mean, I don't think it's terrible out there. It could be done, but my thoughts are maybe.
It doesn't feel urgent to me.
Yeah, I'd almost rather just say let's wait for another winter and address it then. And then maybe we have a plan in place with the. If it gets really bad, then we can address it.
Thank you, Chief.
Well,
anything else? Any requests for an executive session? I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second. Motion to second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
We're going to run again if we didn't know how much time you're going to have.
Wow. Only an hour and a half. Yeah. Hooray.
Well done.
Thank you all.
Someone have the treasurer's
report. I give it to her.
You have it. Perfect. Thank you.